live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 157. We are live on Facebook Live as well and Blog Talk Radio, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance and Mavericks Custom Motorsports. We are live. Jonathan Birdsong is my co-host, as always. JB, how are we?
Doing just fine, Brandon Reif. Man, between the fourth of the country being stimulated, financially, and these tweets about NFL free agency, and, of course, what's on top of mind is, Archie Miller. Man, it's been a busy day. My phone has been blowing up. I don't know about yours.
Yeah, and as well as the NCAA tournament news and St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day, my Irish friend.
for sure, man. Dude, I know we got a lot to deep dive into in 2 hours, and I know we're gonna be kind of basketball heavy, but dude, where do you want to start at?
Well, I want to start right up at the top of my list. I have Archie Miller fired from Indiana on Monday. We talked about it Sunday night with Nick Peterson in our presser. You kind of in our Selection Sunday show, we kind of talked about a little bit if Archie would be fired or surprised it's not happened already, and kind of you had to get your Hoosiers talk in there a little bit with the since they're missing out of it, obviously. But right. Archie Miller fired. There was a buyout, the $10 million buyout. And it's weird that watching the press conference Monday night, they kind of talked about Scott Dolson. He talked about the fact that it was two people he talked to. One unanimous donor donated the $10 million that says, hey, I want him out. We want him out, I guess. Damn. You could say. And then the other one is going to be part of the hiring process, is going to have a say in the hiring process for the next coach, which to me, John, that's a slippery slope, I feel like. If you're going to start having donors saying, hey, we want a say in this, so then you're going to have a battle of the donors. Well, I want to have a say in it. I want to donate and have a say. I think it's a slippery slope, and I think that in the fact that they fired him this quick is that they have an eye on a target that they want to have join the program to take over the lead. I've got a huge list of names that we're going to run through, a little bit of each one. So we'll go through that. But first, just your initial reaction, as we talked about Archie Miller out at IU.
Got real bad taste of like what Texas did to Tom Herman. Not similar, because Tom Herman actually won, right, with Archie Miller. Unless it was Penn State, Nebraska, and Minnesota or Iowa, he didn't have a winning record against any school in the Big Ten. Any winning school, Michigan, Ohio State, and definitely not Purdue, or were not places that he wanted to go. So, I would say it was long overdue time to make a change. You mentioned a slippery slope, man. That's way slippery, man, because if one anonymous donor, let's say it's Mark Cuban, right, because that's who's kind of got that kind of pull to pull $10 million out of his back pocket, right? I don't know what kind of other – I'm sure there's some other billionaires or millionaires. I know there's millionaires on the IU's payroll, right, when you think about Jerry Jeffries and Isaiah Thomas. I know me and you kind of joked about it like off Showtime, like how could they come up with that money so fast? But, if we see in the next 2 or 3 years – a stadium being renamed by somebody out of the blue donor, then that's the writing on the wall. That's who got
right.
That's who put up the $10 million. But it's definitely slippery slope, man. Because if I have an outside person who maybe not, even if it was me or you, and we're basketball nut, about who can coach and who can, and who could probably bring a great culture back to Bloomington, man. Like, do you want a Jerry Jones kind of personality hovering over the program, not necessarily making the best decisions, making emotional decisions, IU needs to get back to its winning cultural ways. I kind of said it on the show, alluded to it anyway, on the show last that we had on the bracketology show, that they need to get back to their winning ways. They're one of the main we're talking about student athletes, but they're one of the main economic forces, sports forces here in Indiana, man. If it's right, I would say, you know what I'm saying, their fandom is right behind the Colts. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Sorry if anybody listening in West Lafayette, I don't mean to shade anybody. This kind of what goes on in Purdue. I'm just saying the fandom that kind of goes from Bloomington and IU, Hoosier program is on par with the Colts, man. So and with them not winning and then going to another year with Archie Miller, the future didn't look bright. So I'm kind of curious about what the names you have. I'm sure I got an opinion on them, and we can probably knock them off.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Real quick, the donor side, one of our Twitter/Periscope viewers had a comment that said, don't all programs have donors that drive these decisions? Yes, I agree with you. They do. But a lot of these programs don't come out front and just say it. Hey, we had these two donors here that pretty much did the buyout. Most of these athletic directors are such, they keep it quiet on that end. They just say, we decided to move on from Archie Miller as the head coach of Indiana University. These are the reasons why, yada, yada, yada. That they don't go in that much detail. I felt like IU kind of peeled back the curtain a little bit there. And did he say too much? I don't know. I wouldn't have said that because I just feel like that could lead to an open door of it being said. It's one of those things that it's happening. But you don't just say it. And I felt like you did with it, you know, obviously.
Right.
So.
Right. Who's on the list, Brad? I know everybody has their wish list of folks, but who's on the official Crossroads Sports list?
15. I have, my personal list is down to a couple. I have three names, but the official Crossroads list that we're going to go through real quick, it's got 15 names on it, John. Now they're not all legit. They're not all huge legit names, but from the things we've heard, the things we've seen, the things that make sense, these are the guys that it's going to make sense for, who could be, but they may not be all realistic. Okay. By the way, this list here, there is one thing missing, and it is missing. And maybe it's Indiana University, but they've only had two, I guess, if you want to call Kelvin Sampson and Mike Davis, but I don't have a single black coach on here. And I just don't see Indiana because of how much the stuff that happened in the past with Mike Davis when he was here, people are still rooted into this program, whether it be donors or alumni, that sit that first front row or whatever, but I just don't see a black head coach. So that crossed off five or six names that I thought would be a good candidate for the head coaching position in Indiana. But obviously you had to pull some of those names. So here's your names. All right. Top of the list. This guy's already said no. It's the top of every Indiana Hoosiers wish list. Brad Stevens. Okay. He's already said no. People keep talking, you know what, he said no, but it's like Nick Saban. Somebody tweeted at me the other day, but Nick Saban said no to Alabama and then ended up coming back. So Stevens says no. Hey, do you fly out there? Maybe make a couple phone calls and don't leave Boston until he says yes. Maybe you do that. I mean, it's worth a shot if you're the athletic director at Indiana. Stevens would be your top guy. He would. If, on a wish list, Brad Stevens would be your number one. Okay. John Beilein's old. He's what, 68, 69 years old. I know he's back in the work of a Big Ten network. Is that something that he wants to do, is get himself back out there, the grind of coaching, the grind of recruiting? I don't see Indiana wanting to get an older coach. Does that make sense to where they're going to have to try to, what if he retires again or decides to leave in 3 or 4 years because he's just tired of, you know, you want somebody that's going to withstand the program, that's going to build the program. Now, I don't feel like Beilein fits that mold unless you can get a commitment from him for a long term. Chris Beard, I think Chris Beard's one of the top three in my list from Texas Tech. that would fit that mold of the kind of coach you want, the mentality, the coaching mentality. He's the last remnants of Bob Knight down in Texas Tech still, because he was an assistant coach down there when it under Knight. So Chris Beard's got the pedigree. He's got the resume that you're looking for there. Would he leave Texas Tech, where he's kind of got a cush right now with a good program over the last couple of years, to leave to come to a snow globe of Indiana? I don't know. Obviously, Eric Musselman, Arkansas, is a conversation. That's another one. I don't think he's going to want to leave Arkansas. Not because Arkansas is better than IU. I just think it's the fact that he's finally getting this program to what he's doing. I'm hearing a little feedback. I don't know if it's your end or what.
Okay.
So Eric Musselman, I don't think he wants to go to that snow globe, and maybe he does. Why leave to go to something that it's a step up, obviously, but why go to something to where you're going to have to restart this program? And literally, you're going to have to restart this program if Trace Jackson Davis leaves, and work all over again. Nate Oates is on everybody's list. I'm sorry. That's a huge-ass buyout there to even get him. And he's going to be wanting even more money than what he was getting in Alabama to come to Indiana. Scott Drew's another name at Baylor. I'll bring this up. Just like I said, he's got a top three program in the nation right now that he's built up over the years. Does he want to really leave that and kind of start from the, not from the bottom, but from the bottom and build up this Indiana program? I don't know. One that is on the list, John, that I don't – it's on there, but it reminds me way too much of Archie Miller, is Mick Cronin from UCLA. He's got a blue blood program out there. He's from Cincinnati, so he would be closer. He had great success when he was in Cincinnati, so he knows the recruiting of this area pretty well. So Mick Cronin could be one of those guys, but I feel like you don't want to take a chance. That's like a take-a-chance guy. You want somebody that's going to be a home run, a heavy hitter, that you know you're going to get success from. I just think looking at Mick Cronin, it just gives me too much of that Archie vibe. If you want to go off of history, Thad Matta, there's one that I think he's got Indiana ties with him being previously a Butler head coach here. He knows the recruiting trails of Indiana. Bringing him back here, maybe that would be good for the Hoosiers. He's coached in the Big Ten before. I think that could be a safe pick for there. Dana Altman, his name was mentioned previously when he was out in Oregon about the Indiana job before then. So Dana Altman's name has been brought back up. Would he leave Oregon? I would, and I'd leave the Pac-12. You make fun of the Pac-12, call it the Pac-10 all the time. I'd leave the Pac-12 in Oregon and come to Indiana. Could he build up the Hoosiers kind of like how he's built Oregon? Yeah, absolutely. He's on there. Your boy, Porter Mosier. Loyola Chicago. He's took him to a Final Four. He's got him back in the NCAA tournament again. He has that Midwest ties around here. You were hyping the last 2 weeks or so on Porter Mosier. I think Porter Mosier would be a good candidate. I like Richie McKay, John. Richie McKay is he's a former assistant to Tony Bennett. Remember previously I said Tony Bennett would have been a huge hire for Indiana before Archie. I was pumping the Tony Bennett to Indiana back in the day. But Richie McKay, former assistant for Tony Bennett. John, he's been at Liberty for 3 years now. Liberty's back in the NCAA tournament. 82-16. He just come off another 20 win seasons recently. 82-16. I think if you want to take a chance with a fresh face, you can go the Richie McKay route. And then you have your four Indiana ties. Alford, Fife, Mike Woodson, who I just saw the other night, he's back on the Knicks bench. I know he was the head coach of the Knicks. Now he's an assistant again. And then the last one is Michael Lewis, who's on Mick Cronin's staff out there at UCLA as a head assistant. He's coached as an assistant at Butler. He was at another program I can't think of, but he's out of UCLA. You can bring him back. He has Indiana ties. He's going to be a head coach at some point. It's just a matter of where. I think IU could be that fit for Michael Lewis if they wanted to stay home. And that's my 15 players or coaches that are on the list that I've seen.
Man, you didn't want to put Ronald Norad on there?
I didn't want to put Ronald Norad on there for you. I'm sorry.
No, man. not a bad list. I think I don't know, Brandon. Steve Alford kind of come out and said that he's not thinking about Indiana right now. I know we talked about it off air. I kind of give the Brad Stevens I give it a 5% chance of happening now. I really do, just because I think in his wheelhouse he is kind of thinking, he has thought about it. And I honestly, Brandon, I think after listening to his statement, I think they probably already talked to him about it probably mid-season. I don't think – I think, you know what I'm saying, it's probably they probably knew that they were going
to
fire
him. You think the Boston staff reached out to him and said, hey, I know IU's not doing too well. Where are you sitting on this?
No, saying,
you think
I'm
they did that?
IU, I'm saying IU sent out somebody to talk to him.
Okay.
Because maybe in between one of IU's poor, you know what I'm saying, maybe when they lost their Rutgers the first time, the first two times, right? They kind of
right.
they probably reached out to Brad Stevens, man. So based off his reaction to his official reaction to the statement, not the radio. He has since made another statement. I kind of get a 5% chance of kind of happening. Here's and then put that with what you just said. There's another person kind of in the mix that wants the best for IU and is willing to pay whatever. It would take IU upwards north of $5 million for him to leave the NBA. I'm not saying the Boston Celtics. I'm saying the NBA, because listen to what I'm saying, CSR. Listen to the audience. He's not going to get fired. But if Brad Stevens somehow becomes a free agent, another NBA team might offer him $7 million to come coach their team. How bad is it? When you think about it, how bad coach are the Sacramento Kings? Even in an interim time, and I know they have some controversy with their coaches staff in Minnesota. How bad coach are they in Minnesota? You know what I'm saying? And I can go around the league. I mean, Atlanta. Whoever, you know what I'm saying? I can pick, you know, pick your poison around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's really no – if you think about it, there's really no salary cap for a coach. Now, is it? You know what I'm saying? Hell.
No.
You know what? The Hoosiers damn near might want to send out a message to Frank Vogel. Believe it or not, man, he's only making like 2.5 now with the Lakers, man. But again, that's different. That's different. That's different type of, you know what I'm saying? You're kind of guaranteed to be in the mix of a championship so long as you're coaching the Lakers and coaching LeBron. So, that, you know what I'm saying? I shouldn't even mention Frank Vogel. He's not coming back to Indiana in any way.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of shit for that coming up.
Right. But, like, no, I kind of give the Brad Stevens a 5% chance of happening. I kind of was disappointed when I heard Steve Alford's official statement saying that, you know what I'm saying, he won't be in the running for or consideration for the coach of Indiana. But, you know what I'm saying, near and dear to my heart would be Calvert Chaney. Again, he's done his tour of duty between Evansville. He was on the staff with Tom Crean's staff at one point when he was the head coach of IU. He's also been a G League assistant. He's assistant with the Pacers. But there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of commitments, there's a lot of politics and kissing babies and whatnot that kind of come with that job. Do I think Calvert Chaney has the same? He traveled some of the same roads to coaching that Juwan Howard has, that Patrick Ewing has, right? He just hasn't had the big seat just yet. But again, like I said, there's a lot of politics behind the scenes that you gotta have to do. You gotta kiss more than just the babies, you know what I'm saying, and make sure that the
right.
team is executing X and O's wise on the floor. So I would like to see Calvert Chaney get the job, but man, it seems like I teasingly call them the IU Mafia. It seems like, Brandon, they don't want a Knight person. They don't want nobody who played for Bob Knight. They don't want nobody who coached underneath Bob Knight. They're trying to wash away Bob Knight like it never happened. But, like, you still want the championships up in the banners,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
So it's weird, man. It's real weird. What would make perfect sense would to hire somebody with great Midwestern ties and somebody who would bring in, if he's not an IU guy, like he's not an alumni, then he would have somebody on his staff that is an alumni, the heavy with alumni, you know what I'm saying? I don't think Cronin, I'm not to pick apart your list or anything like that. Cronin just got there in UCLA, you know what I'm saying? He's got those big, you know what I'm saying, digging in. Could I see Mike Lewis or Dane Fife? But again, Brandon, they never really had a their time to do their they never did their due diligence in the mid majors,
right?
You know, it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, your step up. Like, what did you do? Did you go to Marquette? Did you take the job at Duquesne? Did you take the job at Mercer? Did you take, you know what I'm saying? Did you leave that? university to a Sweet 16. Not saying you had to do it just like what Archie Miller did, you know what I'm saying? But usually that's the way succession kind of works, you know what I'm saying? When I looked up Steve Alford's one-loss record, everywhere he goes, it kind of ended poorly at Iowa because of politics, because of he took the player's word. As, I don't know. I don't want to revamp it or whatever, but he had a player, the criminal charges, facing rape, all that, and it turned out the dude was a scumbag. You know what I'm saying? Alford spoke up for him. You know, that carries weight. You know what I'm saying? When the coach of his stature and somebody of, you know, of his, you know what I'm saying, background speaks up for him, and the kid got off with it, and then come find out the next year the dude did something similar, man, and he got booted, and then the losing started. And because all coaches go through some form of losing, you know what I mean? So outside of that particular, you know what I'm saying, black eye on Steve Alford's, you know what I'm saying, resume of speaking up for a kid that he thought that was, you know what I'm saying, a somebody, but was really, you know what I'm saying, somebody that he didn't spoke up for in a positive sense, he's won everywhere. You know what I'm saying? He's turned programs around, whether you go find some, you know, Southwest Missouri or New Mexico or even Nevada when they finished fifth in the league this year and got to the championship game. I knew it. It's automatic bid that they have in that particular conference, but, you know, it is what it is. So,
right.
You know, and we can't forget about UCLA. He made three 16s in a row in UCLA. You know what I mean?
So, hard to say.
Right. It's a tongue twister, right? So, again, it's obviously some things behind the curtain why he said what he said, not him not being considered or whatever. And maybe he's now at this point, he's 56 years old. He doesn't want to, it's 10 years too late, really. You know what I mean? It really is, you know? So I think Brandon, if IU doesn't come up with like $7 to $8 million, I'm jumping up now, right? $7 to $8 million for Brad Stevens to leave Boston, then it's going to be somebody not necessarily on either one of our lists at all. And your list is your list being intermingled with people on my list as well. I just don't know if it ain't going to be big. Calvert Taney and Dane Fife would jump at the chance to coach IU. They really would. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're telling me some puppeteer has, you know what I'm saying, the say or the no for it, and they might not see the things the way like me and you see it.
Two things on Facebook Live. Our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, says, JP, what about Connell Martin? Big Ten ties, Midwest native. Oh
man,
I don't know if he'd do it, but
Conzo Martin is a great name to throw out there. I thought at one point he was probably in succession to get the Purdue job, and he obviously went to Painter, right? Conzo Martin did his thing out there in California. Now I do believe he's at Missouri now. I might got that reversed. Either way,
no, he's there.
He has some NBA, yeah, he has some NBA experience.
JB, you're cutting out. I can barely faintly hear you.
Dad.
JB, can't hear you.
He can't hear you. It's connected.
You there? Couldn't hear you. All right. Not sure where he went. We're going to have him call back. We'll have him call. I'm going to have him dial back in. I couldn't make a word. That his whole response about Conzo Martin, I also have one more name for him when he calls back in, because I think it'll be an interesting name for him, and he may like it. It's part of the Coach Carousel. So as soon as he calls in, we'll bring him back in, get him going. But sponsor of the show this evening, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, as well as Mavericks Custom Motorsports. We'll go quick while we're waiting for him to get back into it. Oh, there. See if we can get him right here. Jonathan, are you there?
Brandy, when you got so many connected devices in your house, man, like speakers and whatnot, that it bumped me off the call, man. My phone automatically connected to one of the speakers, man, so I do apologize.
I was wondering. I was like, it sounded like you were underwater and about 60 feet away talking to us, giving us your Konzo Martin take.
Yeah, man. Now, Purdue guys and all you got, Purdue coaches and alumni and vice versa, they probably would do it professionally, but for whatever reason, man, the fans, no, they like the upper echelon folks, won't let it happen. So I tease with Coach Brantley, as we all know, he's an assistant.
I know, right?
I tease with him and said, "Hey, man, he didn't say no or anything, but I told him, I said, man, if they ever offered you, you know what I'm saying, 7-0, would you take it?" And he just kind of snickered. So I think those things don't happen. Those things don't happen. All you guys, coaches, all you former players and Purdue former players don't go to the rivalry.
Right. I got one in my back pocket for you. It's not my 15 names, but I don't think IU would hire him. But if I was the athletic director, I'd bring him for an interview just to hear. I'd bring in John Shire, lead Duke assistant.
He is young enough, and you know what I'm saying? He's the understudy of the grand genius, right? Mike Krzyzewski, right? IU needs a home run, Brandon, whatever it is. I think the home runs
might not want to come there. I'm sorry, and that's going to hurt IU faithful fans, and I trust me, you don't say that about that type of program, but right now it's not a good change.
Would Bennett leave? He's already got a national championship on his resume.
Don't make me bring him up again, man. I was fighting for him to get the job back before they hired Archie. You're trying to get me to reel it again.
I remember chatting up with you about it. You know what I'm saying? This is before I joined Crossroads Sports, right? But like, no, man, Wood Bennett, he's got a championship on his resume. When I listened to Doc, kind of was alluding to, and I listened to Doc for only certain things, right? You know what I mean? Basketball is one of them. But like when I listen to him, I think that's what they kind of want. They want somebody who's been in the Final Four, potentially in the final two games, you know what I'm saying, the final game, and either won it or come that close to winning it that, man, you know. I think they missed the boat on the Butler guys. I told you this off-air as well. They missed the boat on Brad Stevens a long time ago, 8 years ago. They missed the boat on Holtzman because I think he has a losing record against Purdue, and I don't think, you know, say they didn't, they, when he was at Butler, I don't think they believed that he could turn it around. Right, but they missed the boat on the Butler guys. You know what I'm saying? When you had them right underneath, you know what I'm saying, underneath your nose, right? That's unfortunate because, you know, neither one, I don't really believe either one of those guys are leaving, but I will give it a 5% chance back to Brad Stevens. I'm not knocking anybody, you just said, you know what I mean, by your realm of imagination. I just don't think anybody on either one of our lists is going to be the guy.
You don't think anybody? I think there's at least, I think one of the 16 guys I had on this list is it. I do.
Porter Moser, he runs motion and like Bob Knight did back in the 80s. He makes his guys play defense like you know what I'm saying, like we want to see, like we see out of Purdue, like we see out of Butler, right? Archie Miller, his team played defense. They just didn't play defense out of their mind. You know what I mean? The problem is, Coach Porter, they're already calling for him in Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? They're offering him. You know what I'm saying? They offer him elsewhere as well. Plus, Brandon, I kind of did my due diligence. I think he'd be a great program building kind of guy. He hasn't necessarily lived in the NCAAs. He has not. You know what I'm saying? He's 4-1. We all remember. You know what I'm saying? The magical run they had. I do believe it's back in 2018. I think that's when it was. But like as far as, you know what I'm saying, them going back into and having repeat business, as far as making the tournament, they haven't lived there. They've made a lot of college basketball championships,
right,
and NITs, but they haven't necessarily lived in the NCAA. So that's kind of like a strike against him that I think, you know what I'm saying, whoever's pulling the strings would kind of have against him. I don't know. Okay. If you could build your own super team of coaches, man, maybe some of those guys would be, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I really think it's going to be somebody out of the blue at this point.
Okay. That's enough IU talk. It's been a half hour on IU, and they're not even in the damn tournament. So we'll continue that. We'll continue that talk at another time with them. All right, John, NCAA tournament. We're here in Indianapolis, if you didn't know. The city is coming to life. There's stuff everywhere. March Madness bracket. I'm working downtown in the heart of it, seeing all the teams. Well, not all the teams. Some of the teams socially distant and stuff, but there's a real aura in the air with everything going on. It's going to be smooth. But all 68 teams are good to go. Virginia's flying in on Friday before their game against Ohio. The first four, those games get started tomorrow up in Mackey Arena and down at Assembly Hall. Looking forward to both of those games. It's very cool to see Assembly Hall, Mackey Arena, the Farmers Coliseum, and Hinkle Fieldhouse with the March Madness floors on there. It's kind of like a surreal look. I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter recently, but it's very cool kind of to see as we get started with the tournament madness tomorrow.
I can't wait to the fight in Kelvin Sampson. I think they play on Friday. Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars get to play in Bloomington and get a win. Like, man, that you talk about surreal. That's going to be real surreal. A guy that got fired, he was 24-4, I do believe, when they fired him. Winning coach at IU, and I get it why they fired him. There's a lot of phone calls made that he wasn't supposed to be making while, you know what I'm saying, trying to recruit or whatever. But that's going to be real surreal when the Cougars take the floor and Kelvin Sampson takes the floor to lead his team to a victory in the tournament.
I would have loved to have Houston versus Oklahoma first round at Assembly Hall. That would have been perfect.
You want to rub it in. You want to rub it in for all parties, huh? You know, for sure. I don't know. I don't know how far you want to dig deep into the
probably not much.
Yeah, we did a whole show about it. I encourage everybody listening to it. If you didn't catch that show, check out the show me and me, Brandon, and Nick Peterson did. We dug deep into the brackets and like why you should take Drake over Wichita or why you should take Oklahoma State into the Sweet 16 and whatnot. I encourage everybody to listen to that. I walked around downtown, did some, you know what I'm saying, took some camera shots and, you know, did some, you know, checking out. I haven't seen any, of course I ain't seen anything inside the stadiums just yet. But like, man, you know what I'm saying, Hoosiers hysteria is here, even though the Hoosiers ain't playing.
Yeah, the names are on the bracket now outside the JW and the team names are up there. There's more stuff getting put up around the city. We are near, and just logistically, it is a down to a science for travel, for practices, when you're leaving, how long you've got. Like, it is down to a true science, and they did it in less than 2 months to get it together with the NCAA, the Indiana Sports Corp, in the city of Indianapolis. So already applause around for the hard work already done there. Shifting gears. Because we already talked March Madness, like John said, you can find that episode. You can find our winners. I'll even let you know, I have Illinois winning my bracket. So I love what they've seen. I've seen them up close for 2 weeks now where I'm at. I love it. I love their aura. I think they get it done. Going to the Pacers, John. We beat the Suns the other night. We lost to the Lakers. Couldn't hold a lead in the second half, but we came back, beat the Suns. Caris LeVert played his first game on Saturday night. I believe he had 13 points because I took the under 18.5. That was an easy bet for him. Looked all right out there. Tonight he gets his home debut against the shorthanded Brooklyn Nets. thoughts on Caris LeVert and I guess the Pacers as we talked in this middle of this tough stretch for Indiana.
I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you can put it in a short vacuum of time, man. If Caris LeVert is able to be, comeback player of the year with, you know what I'm saying, after starting, you know what I'm saying, and stopping and finding out what he had, you know what I'm saying, the health issue that he had, man. But I'm kind of glad he didn't necessarily shoot from three the other night particularly well. And, of course, you know what I'm saying, like against but we still got a victory against the Phoenix Suns, something that we did that I think on last time we talked. Me, you, and Decott said there's no way we thought we were going to probably have a five-game slid coming up. But, like, no, man, it's good that they beating LeBron is hard. And that is what it is, playing the Lakers. But, yeah, surprise, they beat the Phoenix Suns, man. And I think the Suns are 2 in the East, man. So it's frustrating to watch the Pacers, knowing how well they can put together a game like they did against Phoenix. And then, you know, potentially lay an egg. They should be able to beat the Nets without Durant, without Kyrie, they should be able to beat the Nets. But when I hear about what they are still kind of shopping, here's the thing though, Brandon, they're not out of the playoffs yet because 7-10, and there's that playoff, there's that kooky playoffs game, playing game that everybody has to play this year.
Right.
So, I do believe it is single elimination. So it's kind of college style, I think. I don't think you get to play like two games to see who gets to play, to see who gets to be the 8th seed or 7th seed or anything like that. So we'll see how that kind of – so they got to stay in the hunt. You know what I'm saying? They kind of got to hope that other teams kind of will. And I think that's going to happen. I like the Bulls and what they've – Billy Donovan and what that team's kind of done this year. But they are inconsistent. I like what the Knicks have done by bringing in, you know what I'm saying, Derrick Rose and bringing a mixture of veterans. And obviously Tibbs is probably top two or three for coach of the year in this particular season. But, again, they win games. They go on a two-game win streak, and then they lose like three. You know what I'm saying? So, again, that between 7-10 is not necessarily sitting on solid foundation. But here's the thing that bugs the hell out of me, Brandon. Sorry, use the H word, right? The Pacers are shopping for a four-man that they can rotate in and out between Miles and also play a little center so they can rotate. You know what I'm saying? If they want to go small, they can take out Sabonis. Well, damn it, Brandon, the rumor mill is, and ain't no rumor, they try to get our guy Thad Young back. Well, damn,
yeah.
you had Thad Young in the building 2 years
yeah.
ago, and you haggled over $12 million. You haggled over $12 million and hung on to Goga Batasi. You drafted him and hung on to T.J. Leaf. You drafted him, and now you're trying to trade for Thad Young, man.
Kevin Pritchard.
I know a lot of guys. Say what now?
I said that's my Kevin Pritchard. Remember?
Yeah, right. That's Kevin Pritchard. I know. There's a lot of hot seats that we talk about from coaches to players and whatnot. Man, that guy, he better be glad he played. This is Indiana, and you know what I'm saying? We can't really see the Pacers because of you know everything's blocked or whatever. But he better be glad that you know what I'm saying. The smart marks ain't really on his rear end, man, because that's bad management of your roster. It just is. You let Thad Young walk on a, you offered him 9, he ended up signing with the Bulls for 12. Did he even really fit the Bulls rebuilding mold? No, he didn't. He just went for $3 million because I don't think anybody else really wanted him like that much. Right. But he signed. That's crazy. Now that they want a guy, a defensive minded guy that can hit a consistent mid range jump shot and maybe even three, and guy can play defense, right? And that you had him. So that's the frustrating part with the Pacers for me, but. By out of the playoffs by no real, you know what I'm saying, they're not, but it's going to be a tough struggle. They have somebody called in today and said they need to go on a 7-game win streak. I said they haven't had a 7-game win streak since last year when Nate McMillan coached them. So you're asking them to do something that they haven't done. Could they go on a 3-game, 4-game win streak? They should be able to go on that type of win streak, a 3-4-game win streak. But again, they have not proven the capability to do so. And you can point your finger from Miles Turner's play to sometimes the bonus. I won't. It's not him. He's not the problem. You know what I'm saying? But from everybody else on down, Malcolm Brogdon, the Holiday brothers, and even the coach, I question. You can have all. I mean, remember? I don't know if you caught that little go between Shaq had with oh my God, I can't remember the player he had. Anyway, it was about she was a female player. Play for WNBA. I got so geeked about it. Everybody calls Shaq dumb because he plays like he has this dinosaur mentality about how the NBA is played now. And like, well, you got to have somebody out there that can rotate on Jokic. You got to have somebody out there, basically a big man that can shoot threes. Well, here's the thing, man. It's great that a coach or a team can set up a guy like Jokic or even Miles Turner for that matter to shoot the three and to, you know what I'm saying, and use that as a home run type of hit, right? But like, if you can't consistently hit it, why the hell are you continuously running plays to shoot threes? You see what I'm saying? I know Greenberg's been on this big thing about 3-point shooting. He even had Ray Allen on the show today talking about 3-point shooting. It really put things into context. Ray Allen averaged threes a game. But he said, this is what he said, Brandon. He said, I never wanted to start the game out shooting threes. He said, because one, it looks like you're gunning out your team. And two, you really want to shoot your three on a back tap or on an offensive rebound. Think about the biggest shot he ever hit in his life. It was a back tap on an offensive rebound against the Spurs. So
yep. your Spurs.
What the hell he's talking about. He knows what the hell he's talking about. And I get it. And then somebody else pulled up some, you know, the stat guy pulled up. We said, well, the Utah Jazz, you know what I'm saying, they I think they're leading the league in threes. But when's the last time I know they're leading the West right now, but they're if you're telling me they're a jump shooting team, and I think the best team is still in the West is the Lakers. What do they have in the mid range? What do they have to get to the free throw line to nullify anybody that, you know what I'm saying, when those threes ain't hitting, you know? So I don't know, man. That's kind of my tirade on 3-point shooting. We have some guys that can make threes, but we should not be. I'm talking about the Pacers now. We shouldn't be scheming up plays to where, okay, we're gonna put Miles over here in the corner, and we're gonna put Little Holiday over here at the top of the key, and you know what I'm saying. We're drawing up a play so that we can get a three when we know Miles. If Miles Turner's not 6'10", 6'11", why don't we have his again? Why don't we have his butt somewhere in the paint?
John, I've said that for 3 or 4 years now. You're glad you're just now catching on to it. I appreciate that. I've been blue in the face over it. Let me ask you this. Two things. Number one, what does that say about coaching, the fact that the other night against the Lakers, that Doug McDermott and them said, going to that final play, that the Lakers knew what play we were running? Like, damn. The fact they knew the exact play you were running and you couldn't change it up or couldn't you need to change up your plays. If these teams are already know your damn finishing plays for an out-of-bounds play at the end of a game, you got to switch that up or have a good backup. They didn't have a backup play. Like, they could have ran. Like seeing the formation, the setup. And second, let me ask you this, and this – I'm not saying they should do this, but you always want to get the best value out of your players, right? And several players, they have good peak years and then they decline. We've seen it with all the Pacers players in the past. Would you consider, because his peak is right now, the best of value you're going to get out of him is right now. Would you consider trading Sabonis just to see what you can get? The fact that his greatest value, the most you're ever going to get for him, at least trade field some offers, is going to be now, because he's a two-time All-Star. He's playing his greatest game he can. Why not field some offers just to see what his max is, what you can get for him?
If you trade,
I'm not saying we should do it, but
right. Well, I'm saying if you even think about it, you might as well go ahead and trade Miles Turner as well. I would almost be willing to trade Miles Turner before I would trade Sabonis. And I like what Miles does from the defensive standpoint on help defensive side. I really do.
How about that rumored trade with Miles to Cleveland?
But what the Pacers have kind of put themselves into a corner, trying to be an offensive team that can't offensively keep up with everybody. So you think about it. When Miles Turner was at his best is when the bulk of the offense wasn't – not I'm talking about the bulk, meaning like maybe – I think he gets maybe – I think let's say he gets 9 shots per game, right, usually. Now, let's say he's getting probably the third of the shots. They do run some offense through Miles. We do know that. That didn't necessarily happen when Paul George was here. That didn't happen necessarily also when Victor Oladipo was here. You know what I'm saying? But those two particular guys, I said it 2 shows ago. When Nate McMillan ran the show, the Pacers were a better defensive team at the wing, at point guard, shooting guard. Like either A, we had the staff, or B, we had the staff mentality that wanted to D up, stay in front of their man, to shoot the lanes, to get steals. I don't think we have that. You know what I'm saying? Even, God bless him, Collison, and his bad knee, he averaged, I do believe the year before he retired, two steals per game. No, that was Victor. But Collison was like one, it was like 1.4, damn near two if you round it up, right? Metric system. Anyway, but the point is, you have to have guys who want to stay in front of the man and not have this Ole defense. And right now, that's what we have. So, like, back in the day, it wasn't Miles, and go back to Thad Young. Again, another defensive-minded guy. You know what I'm saying? Get you six boards, get you 1.5 steals per game. You know what I mean? We don't have that perimeter wise. We don't have guys. So now, everybody's waiting for Miles Turner to get this huge block. But then when Miles Turner has to go against Embiid or Giannis, he's getting buried alive. You know what I mean? So the mentality of what was kind of put here so that the Pacers to be successful. You know what I'm saying? McDermott's not. We can see it. McDermott. And Brogdon, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't care about defense. It's not their strong point. You know what I mean? And the Holiday brothers, it's not their strong point. Their strong point is offense. McDermott is Mr. Offense, right? When he's open, you know what I mean? The night that he's hot, he's Mr. Offense for us. It's crazy. He goes from 18 points one night to 3 of 18 the next. You know what I'm saying? Which is very frustrating, right? If you depend upon that 18. So I don't know, Brandon. I don't like trading great players because on this particular team, Sabonis is probably our option A, right? We run a lot through him. That's why he's had the triple doubles this year. If you send him to say a Boston, right, dude, you're putting him back into the title hunt, which I know they're kind of waffling right now. If you trade him to even if you trade him to like say a Charlotte. You putting them back into a top three, a top four team with what they can do defensively. They get in front. They like to say, Gordon Hayward, as much as we, thought his career was over. He stays in front of his man. He doesn't get beat. A little mellow too. You know what I mean? So on and so forth. So I wouldn't necessarily entertain not this season. How about that to answer your question? Maybe I like Sabonis. I really do. I think they need to get him more help. They need to get him somebody that can rebound for him so that he doesn't have to do the bulk of the rebound and all the dirty trench work that the centers don't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's talk Damian Lillard. Time. Another 50-point outburst last night, which helped me on a 4-game parlay finish it off for $100. So thanks, Dame Time. They were down 14 with 3 minutes to go.
I thought the Pelicans had that game, man, for real.
It's sad because he's out on the West Coast out there, but it just comes across as a headline. Dame had 50 points. It's not like – because you know how many people were actually up late watching that game on a Tuesday night? I know I was, but – how many people? Probably not many. And I don't think he gets the accolade that he deserves as much because of what he's doing in these games. It just comes across as a headline on the next morning. Everybody on the East Coast and the Central is like, oh, Dame had 50. Cool. Or he had 8 points in 30 seconds. Awesome. But that's it. I don't think he gets as much credit as the kid deserves for his size, even, John, and what he's doing in the game.
Right.
Yeah, we watched the All-Star, and he could shoot lights out. We saw in the playoffs when he took a playoff P or pandemic P, and he hit that three on them when he was out in Oklahoma City and lit him and Russ up. But, I think Dame needs a lot more than what he's got, and I think he's just got the raw end a little bit just because Portland is obviously out there out west.
And think about it, Brandon. He don't have no splash brother with him. CJ McCollum has set out half the season because he's been injured.
Right.
And even CJ's not as good as Klay Thompson, right? I'm not saying Dame Lillard is as good as Steph either. You know what I mean? But he's close, real close. They're very close in what they can do for a team. But, Brandon, let me ask you this. Is he heading into LaMarcus Aldridge territory? think about prime, I'm talking about peak LaMarcus Aldridge, where I think LaMarcus Aldridge stayed there a little bit too long. By the time he got to San Antonio, Tim Duncan and them was too old to, they were too old to pass the torch to him and he was, too long in the tooth of his damn self to carry a load of a team. I don't want Dame, and he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that wants to leave. He always says in every presser, pitching, he says he likes playing for the city of Portland. It's just that it's that particular market. It shouldn't be that particular market doesn't necessarily draw the prime time free agents. But if I was a free agent and I was thinking about going somewhere, as I know, spoiler alert, I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns ends his career in Minnesota. Right, there's all these rumors about him going to New York already, but why doesn't Karl-Anthony Towns think about going to Portland? Think about what that kind of team would be. That's kind of what they're missing, another all-star, right? That's going to play. So I don't know, man. He's entertainment for sure, personified. And I think you kind of alluded to like what happened last. I think he kind of ran out of energy and steam last year because he got hurt ribs. During the playoffs, but again, he doesn't make excuses. I love him as a competitor, but Dame's. How many times he scored 50 this year?
Dame time.
Right. So yeah, man. But shout out to Dame time, man. You get your props due on this show for darn sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Before we take a call, I got one last NBA thing for you, John. You've been on Twitter quite a bit, and if you look at all the tweets and stuff. You've been, I think every day, because I have your tweets set as an alarm. So I get a notification anytime you tweet. Because I need to know if it's something I need to chime in on. I need to know if it's something that I'm going to battle with you on some foolishness that's on Twitter that some idiot's talking to you about. I have it all set just so I can go be prepared and ready. I'm seeing every morning when I wake up, I love when I wake up for work and you've already fired off four or five tweets in the morning at 5 a.m. I love that fact. You're talking a lot about Giannis love, a little bit of love for Giannis and the MVP and the triple double machine. Explain yourself to CrossRoads Sports Radio, your Giannis love.
All things are critical for him because they've come up short. He's come up short in the big moments, whether it was against, in the playoffs, MVP ain't sniffed the finals yet. I get it; he's young. People are super critical of him, but look at it. I mean, you see what he can do. He can dunk. He can rebound. He can block shots. Right. What he hasn't been able to do is advance his team into get them to the next level. Well, Milwaukee Bucks spent a lot of money in the offseason doing a whole lot of trading and moving around, and they've improved the roster. What I don't think people have been overcritical of is what the coaches have or how they were utilizing Giannis. Giannis is not a wing player. His strong suit is not shooting threes and not this new NBA, right? He has gotten better at shooting from outside. He went like 16 for 16 in the All-Star game, right? That's his All-Star game, but he went 16 for 16 in the All-Star game with like 2 for 2 from three. Right, or I think he 1 for 1. He hits the shot, right? He didn't miss a shot. He has shot better from outside, mid range, and from three since the All Star break. But here's what they're doing, Brandon, with him. They're making sure that you plan to, like you just said it a couple seconds ago. Play to your strengths. If he is a dominant inside player, why the hell have we got him on the perimeter? Why are we even having him at the top of the key wanting to shoot a three for a kick out? Get his big self, he's 6'11" and a half, on the block or closer to the rim and where he can be effective. And if everybody's going small, man, the only thing you can do is send him to the – you can hack a Shaq, right? You send him to the foul line. Oh, my God, Brandon, the dude since the All-Star break is shooting like 89% from the free throw, so you can't even foul him now. And it's translated into winning basketball. Now, here's what has to happen. You can say, well, they only beat the Washington Wizards twice, and they only beat, so-and-so, somebody who ain't going to make the playoffs or whatever once or whatever. But, they got to do it against the big time, the Boston Celtics. They got to do it against the Brooklyn Nets and so on and so forth. Shoot, I think – here's what I'm going to say. The Brooklyn Nets cannot beat the Milwaukee Bucks without Kevin Durant. If we remember what happened just a month ago when they did play, they needed Kevin Durant to hit an incredible three-pointer to win the game in the first damn place. when you think about what Brooklyn is doing, trying to add bigs, trying to get Andre Drummond, trying to get where they got Blake Griffin. They're trying to get somebody that can bang with Giannis. That's how I read it. You know what I mean? They're trying to get somebody so when Kevin Durant does come back, he ain't got to do like it's got a rebound
right.
for it. Try to get 8-9 rebounds per game because that's not his game. Why would I have Silky Smooth Kevin Durant trying to bang with Giannis or even you know saying the other MVP candidate out Joel Embiid? We're not gonna win that battle. Yeah, he might score 30, but then on the inside, hell, what Embiid and what gonna score 30 a damn self. So again, I'm just praising where you know saying they've made an adjustment. The team, the Milwaukee Bucks, have made an adjustment that I don't think everybody's kind of.
They had to. They were worse this year, so for sure.
Yeah, pre-Auburn, for sure. Yeah.
Hey, people in Indianapolis, I was just scrolling through Twitter as you were talking, and the fine people at Red Garter downtown, John.
Oh my.
The strip club down there, they are open. Their tweet says more basketball, more hours. Wednesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. Daily drink special, free admission as well if you show the tweet. Downtown Indy's best adult entertainment, Red Garter. There's a free ad for them, but apparently they're extending their hours for March Madness to get the crowd in there. So,
Brandon, is Jim Irsay going to be there? I'll be there if Jim Irsay going to be there.
he might be now that Carson Wentz is there, so... We'll bring our guy on. I don't think he's ever been in there, hopefully. Fred Felner, KFAB Connection, what's going on?
Dude, hilarious. The segue from the strip club shout out to me. I'm honored, man.
Val Venus reference. We'll use the Val Venus.
Cock locked and ready to unload, man. That was actually a shirt that he wore at WrestleMania. Back when they could actually get away with that stuff, dude. The worst shirt ever. And I'm not going to describe what the font looked like, but you can kind of use your imagination if you know Val Venus's gimmick. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Kenny Golladay looks like he's leaving Detroit.
Kenny G, man. Hey, dude, I have no ill will against him. It's kind of one of those crap or get off the pot things with him. I don't think he's worth $20 million, and I watched him torch the Colts at Lucas Oil, like his rookie season, and I had a lot of high hopes for him, but, dude, he's like Cuba Gooden and Jerry Maguire, you know, wanting to get the Kwan. I wish him well. It's just, yeah, we're not going to pay a dude that sat out all last year $20 million a year to catch passes. Like, just not happening, so... There's a big question mark with the Lions this year, and, you know, sadly he won't be part of it, and, you know, it is what it is, you know. What are the rumors? He's going to go to an NFC East team or something like that, maybe the Giants, so we'll see, but.
Yeah, the Bengals and the Giants have contract off. Well, he has a contract offer out from the Bengals, but he's visiting the Giants, so.
Man, Joey B throwing to Kenny G in Cincinnati, man. Get your Skyline Chili Dogs ready.
John?
Fred, I know you want to talk to Michigan football basketball, man. Do you feel a little disrespectful from national media about Livers being out?
Dude, I'm used to it. You know where I'm from, Bird. You know I'm from the 313, so, you know, the versus everybody slogan, it's not just a slogan. You just get used to it. And we got our rivals. We got Sparty, who's like, we're never respected, and when? They're the crybabies of it all, but it's just show up and show out. There's no crying about it. There's no, you know, whining and moaning about it. Just show up and play and prove them wrong. Like Coach Juwan said back in the early 90s when they were Cabbage Patch and shocked the world. Like, that's, you know, and the thing about it too, Bird, nobody picked Michigan to go to the finals in 2013. Nobody picked them to go in 2018. And they're a number one seed, and nobody's picking them to go. Like, nobody even had them ranked this season, let alone to be a number one seed. So I don't care what any talking head person says about Michigan or Detroit. As long as they win, I don't care, man. Just show up and win. That's it. Like,
just win, baby.
You know? Hey, well, I mean, Livers being out, I mean, yeah, I absolutely had concerns. I mean, it makes your stomach turn a little, you know,
deeper,
especially when you're
deeper than – They're deeper than Isaiah Livers. You know what I mean?
Look at shout out to Brandon St. John's. I think he's going to explode in the tournament. I think he's going to shut everybody up.
I think one of my brackets, I'm sorry. I fill out more than one bracket. I think in one of my brackets, I basically had them. I had Michigan losing to Alabama. If Livers doesn't come back. But in one of my other brackets, I got Michigan beating Alabama.
Did you actually fill out your bracket on the Crossroads one?
For me?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I'm asking John because last year he logged in.
Oh, yeah.
Ed, but then he got his full zero because he didn't fill out his bracket. So
if you go in, dude, there's a lot of people playing this year. So if you go in there and look, there's the Jonathan Birdsong that I named myself. So there's another Jonathan Birdsong in this universe. He's a friend of mine on Facebook, but he's not a basketball fan.
But my question is, is it filled out?
Yes, it's filled out. Go up there and look at it. You got more than one device. Look at
I can't see it. You can't see anybody's brackets until the games start. All I can see is, yeah, you have your name on a bracket, but I don't know if the damn thing's filled out. Last year, you didn't even fill it out. You logged in, but you didn't fill it.
Expect for me to win because you took Illinois. I took Gonzaga.
Man, going out on a limb, fellas. Going out on a limb.
Hey, here's my thing. I had Illinois before anybody. I had them a month ago because they turned a corner. I liked the fact when I had them, we had them at our hotel we were at. I was working with them every single day. The guys had to sit. There was no nonsense, no BS. You see some of these other teams. I like it. And they're two top players, the way they're playing right now, and their point guard, I like it. So I said, you know what? We're taking the Illini. I could have taken the Gonzaga. I could have took Baylor. Hell, I could have took the Wolverine. But I can't. I'm sorry. I'm going to go out on a limb, take Illinois.
Going out on a limb, yeah. Bird, who did you say you have? Do you have Gonzaga?
Oh.
I had Gonzaga winning the national championship. It would be like poetic justice if they win. In Indiana, the first undefeated team since 1976, Hoosiers led by Bob Knight. Mark Few finally gets one. You know what I'm saying? It's eluded him. It's kind of the only thing that's not on his resume. He has basically an NBA factory. You know what I'm saying? Second round picks mostly, right? out there in Gonzaga. But no, I mean, he turns players. He runs a pretty good program. I know the knock is they play St. Mary's, they play Boise State, they play, you know what I'm saying, a lot of teams that
San Francisco
has a lot of respect for. Wait a minute, man.
School for the blind.
the leaders of the blind dog school.
Oh, man, yeah. Come on, man. How y'all going to respect the school of Adam Morrison like that?
Come on now. Hey, Fred, I got a question for you. So we were talking last week about MJF, or it might have been 2 weeks ago, I don't remember. MJF, AEW, Chris Jericho, what they're doing, yada, yada, yada. Did they break that up a little too quick, you think, with the Inner Circle and have him go off on his own thing, or do you think it's timing? I thought it was too quick for the build that they were doing.
No, I think it's appropriate. I honestly, with Inner Circle, I think with the MJF focus, they lost sight of LAX or Proud and Powerful, whatever you want to refer to them as. That tag team, man, they've been just super stale. They kind of just sit in the background. Jake Hager's been super stale. Hell, even Wardlow. It's the focus has been too much on MJF and Jericho. So I like this split because I think all the members of Inner Circle have something to give. And they kind of got put on the back burner with this whole MJF thing. So maybe you could have milked this out a little bit longer. But to me, I think timing was right. And for MJF to have this mega heel group, like this four horsemen adjacent group, is awesome. And it's fitting for him. And if you're talking about storytelling, you got Cody Rhodes. And who was his father's nemesis? Dusty the Horseman. So who's Cody Rhodes' nemesis? MJF. So I think it works out from a storytelling standpoint brilliantly. And that we're going to get an eventual Cody-MJF feud again. I think if you talk about leaving things too quick, I thought that feud ended way too soon. So I think that's going to brew back up, but we're definitely going to get an MJF versus Jericho. And I don't know if we're going to get like another stadium stampede kind of thing, like how they did with the Elite and Inner Circle, but I could see the Inner Circle and MJF's Horsemen doing some sort of, I don't know if they're going to do a Blood and Guts or they're going to have something special lined up for that five-on-five sort of deal. So it's exciting. It's cool. You know, just when you're kind of wondering what they're going to do after the pay-per-view, they turn a corner. Now nobody's talking about the dud fireworks anymore. Now we're focused on this new stable. So kudos to Tony Khan and the booking. I think it was a smart move. And did you guys hear the promo with Eddie Kingston and Moxley? I thought they handled it great. Like, what did you guys think of that? If you heard it,
yeah, that was, I did not. That was a real clean. It was a real clean way to explain it. You know what I'm saying? It really was. I'll send it to you, Brandon, if you don't look it up yourself, man. But it was a real clean way to explain it, man. Like Kenny Omega. And, you know what I'm saying, wanted to explode, but he sent a dud and then she's trying to make them look bad or whatever. It was a cool way, a slick way to explain it. But back to the faction, which is the MJA faction, which is yet to be named, I thought it was a great emotional turn. I know some smarter, older wrestler, like Jim Cornette, Smart Marks, didn't like it or whatever, but I loved it. I just hope that they keep,
I hear birds.
The circle heal as well.
Hello? I hear birds.
Oh, I'm outside right now.
Oh, I know Birdsong was talking, but I heard birds singing.
Hey, it's birds for Birdsong. That's what it was. That's his new drop.
I hope they keep the Inner Circle heel, and you have a heel on heel faction. Heel on heel versus each other.
I agree.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Hey, I got a question for you guys, and this is not shade or anything, but just trying to see from people who
are
more acquainted with the WWE product currently. For those that are watching WrestleMania, the road to WrestleMania right now, in your opinion, is this one of the wackiest like lead-ups to a Mania ever? And I don't want to hear the pandemic stuff. I just want to hear they have all these wrestlers like, what do you guys think about this lead up to Mania? Like, is there any matches that intrigue you? Like, just an honest question for you guys.
I feel like, and this is nothing. I'm an equal opportunity person. So if it pulls me in, the entertainment pulls me in, I feel like the things they have going with Sasha Banks and the tag team champions, it changes from like hour to hour. It's supposed to change from week to week. You know what I'm saying? But they are the most entertaining. But the storyline just kind of goes everywhere, you know what I mean? I do obviously like what they've done with Bobby Lashley putting the title on Bobby Lashley or whatever. But I don't know, like, you know what I'm saying? Is he gonna keep it? Like, what do I really believe that, you know what I'm saying, that he's booked solid post resume? You know what I mean? No, you know what I'm saying?
Bird, real quick too, not to cut you off, but it was in that I wanted to get that thought in because it's in the same vein of Lashley. Why'd they take the straps off of Seti and Shelton? If they're going to make this almighty era or whatever, and they got Lashley being this big heater for Drew McIntyre, then why would they take the straps off of them going into WrestleMania?
Right. It would have made them look as a faction even bigger. Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
A lot of head-scratching things that they do that I don't necessarily get. Now, what I did like, there's no way you could not like, I mean, I'm saying this to you and to Brandon. There's no way you couldn't like the things that they have Paul Heyman say when he name dropped Christian, but not he didn't say Christian. You know what I'm saying? And said like teased the match between Edge and Roman Reigns, and like basically Christian Cage basically ran away from the WWE. I still that's still a match I want to see, just because. Paul Heyman knows how to hype up a match, though. He knows how to pull the right lever to make, you know, get you interested in. Unfortunately, they can't have Paul run everybody's stuff for him. And he's on there. He really needs to, because he's the smartest. I never will say that Vince McMahon is not a smart man at all when it comes to booking. Unfortunately, his booking knowledge is still stuck in 1978, 1984 sometimes. You know what I mean? And then anybody else who's underneath them, they're kind of just yes men. They have great ideas, whether it's Bruce Pritchard, who's always chirping in the background or whatever. They have great ideas, but again, they're still stuck somewhat in their 80s mindset. You know what I mean? big guy, big, 6'5" guy, got to always have the title, and you know what I'm saying, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. I ain't been hyped about a WrestleMania. I always take WrestleMania for the results anyway, for like the last 5 years, but on the night after, the night of, or the day after, you know.
Brandon hasn't said a word on this. He's on Twitter right now.
I am on Twitter right now. No, I think the lead up has been poor. I don't think they're 100. Going into this pay-per-view, you got 2-day pay-per-view. I think they should be, like most pay-per-views for WrestleManias, the lead-up is pretty even for every match that they have going
Dude,
into it.
Yeah,
I think this
yeah.
one, they
yeah,
have
true.
Only done it for the certain big headliners, the women's title, the main event title for WWE, the WWE title. The Universal title, not the WWE title, because we don't even know who the hell he's defending it yet against. If it's just going to be Drew, if it's going to be Drew and Brock Lesnar, we don't know, because I think there's still so much unknown. They don't know which way they want to go with it. And it's sad. I do think the writers are, and I guess the producers are, they're such in a loop with they don't know what the hell Vince is going to like, what Vince is not going to like. Is Vince's head completely all the way in it right now? Because is he worried about that, or is now we're still working about Peacock and NBC trying to get this WWE Network switched over to Peacock and everything going smooth with that? Like, I don't know how bought in
that's
everybody
a great point.
Is.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, what weird timing to move your entire wrestling library over to NBC is the pay-per-view before Mania. Like, surely you could have waited till Backlash or, like, whatever, you know, pay-per-view, Night of Champions, whatever. But right before Mania, you're orchestrating this, you know, brokering this gigantic, like, billion-dollar deal, and the product suffers for it. And I think this isn't the first time we've seen – you know, the shareholders and everybody but wrestling fans getting the wrestling fans get the short end of the stick, while the stockholders and these major networks are like, here's a, you know, Brinks truck with millions of dollars. So who cares what the card for Mania is? They're supposed to be having a live show, which I don't know if you guys saw, but like Dana White's throwing out his, we're going to have a live crowd for UFC card in Jacksonville in a couple of weeks. So I think Vince is scrambling over that right now, and scrambling with Peacock, to the point where it's like Mania, we don't even have a card, and Mania's what, like less than a month away, and we have what, four matches now that we got a random New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos, or, you know, if that, they change his name like every week, so I think it's Omos, like,
right.
It's just weird, like, it's just so bizarre, and it's sad because, I mean, for those that don't watch, it's like big whoop, who cares? But for the people that are still invested in the product, you're kind of left out in the cold when it comes to your favorite time of the year. It should be exciting for Mania. You know, back in the day when, you know, Macho Man won the tournament, you know, and Hogan came out with his little red spandex on, like being the hot dog, like taking all the spotlight, you're like, okay, they planted the seed for Macho Man and Hogan, you know, mega powers are going to explode. Like, they planted seeds, yep. You know, and, you know, Rock, Stone Cold, like, you could tell those two were on the cusp and they were going to collide at Mania. And, you know, the changing of the guards with, like, Shawn Michaels and, you know, Austin, and we've seen it through the years. The Cena and Rock, even, for you, as much as people complained about it, the feud was still good. Like, they booked it well, you know.
Right. Do we think, and this could very well be a thing, and, you know, you can use it in different ways of life, but do you think, Fred, that the bookers, the people that build the storylines, the producers, I just don't think they're into it as much as what they used to be. I think if you put these old producers, the guys used to back in the WWF days and such, if you put them into the storylines that they built in and put them into modern day, I think they would be a lot more sufficient than what we have now, because it's pulling these writers and stuff and these different technologies. There's more things to do. the more things you're distracted by. I just think that the product, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's outdated. It's not,
yeah.
Capturing. Well, that's a great.
Yeah, I think they're half-assing it. That's what I'm looking for. They're half-assing it now.
They're mailing it in. Yeah, they're mailing it in. But they're ignoring a demo that's turned their backs on them. Remember when we were teens and like you would walk out with a Wolfpack shirt on and, you know, you could be at the skating rink or the arcade or wherever you were and someone would throw you up a two sweet. Like it was pop culture. It was pop culture for wrestling. Now
you guys talk for a minute. I'll be right back. I got a smoke detector going off.
Oh, no problem. Bird, I know, right? Talking head status. Bird, I know you know this, like, you know, going out in public with your Austin 316 or your DX shirt or your NWO shirt. It was like wrestling was pop culture. And
yeah, it's great.
The young kids now, they, like, you know, the average viewer of AEW is 47. And that's younger than WWE. So, like, people that were a little bit older than us back when we were watching Stone Cold and DX and NWO, they're older now. But the thing is, their kids aren't into it the way that we were. And so this demo is a key demo that's being missed out, not just with WWE, but with AEW and wrestling in general. You know, they were saying, this was on the Wrestling Observer, they were talking about it. They were talking about kids especially. Kids don't even watch TV anymore. You know, how are they going to watch wrestling on TV when they're not even watching TV? They watch YouTube. You know, and they watch dudes streaming, and they don't watch television like
no,
we grew up watching television. So how, like, that's why I like the fact that AEW is doing their Elevation Dark, which for both of you guys, shout out to a former Crossroads guest, Danny Limelight, had an awesome match with Jungle Boy. It's the opening match of the new AEW Dark Elevation show. They got Paul White on commentary. He did great. Danny Limelight looked great. They showcased a lot of talent that you don't get to see on a weekly basis on Dynamite. I think putting that and like the women's tournaments and putting it on YouTube is a smart idea because it gets different eyeballs on the product. So that's the burning question. Brandon brought up a great point is how do you get kids, how do you make wrestling cool again? How do you get it back into pop culture conversation
and it
not being some niche thing?
Yeah, I think we talked about this a couple of episodes ago. A couple times we were on, we was like, dude, how can we make it? And then it's ironic that you say that, Fred. That's how I learned. That's how I learned who Danny Limelight was by watching YouTube.
Right.
It kind of, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He was wrestling for somebody else, and boom, there. I was like, this kid got it. And then, you know, somebody else, you know what I'm saying? I was like, dude, let's get him on the show. So yeah, I think. I think if WWE wants to continue to survive, they need to get a YouTube program.
Yes. Preach. Yep. And hell,
all good.
You know
all
what, Bird?
Good, guys.
Bird, I'm going to throw one more out there. One night of WrestleMania on YouTube. Put night one of WrestleMania exclusively on YouTube as my dogs come out to try to make more noise.
Like Clash of Champions, like you want to be like 1988 Clash of Champions free on TBS. Man, I'm with it. I'm with it. That'd be unprecedented.
Right? Like
that,
you got to – there's got to – yeah. I'm with
that
it, too, is what I was going to say.
That would get
yeah, go ahead, Bert.
No, that's all. That's kind of all I got, man. One last question for you, man, before we let you go. How many brackets did you fill out? Did you only fill out one, Fred?
So I got a one with my friends. He's a Sparty fan, so I'm going to clean up in that bracket because they're going to be sitting there filling the bracket out with their heart and not their brain. So the odds are for me winning that one, and I got a work one, and then I got the Crossroads one. So I think there might be one more. My cousin's going to have me go on. I think it's like $20 per.
Oh, wow. Which one did you fill out with your brain? And I mean, who'd you have with your brain? The eventual, not the winner, just the last two. Who's the last two teams?
Don't give that away yet. It ain't started. Jonathan may change his.
I'm not changing mine. Mine are done, buddy.
The Crossroads one I do have done, and I did look at that, and you know I don't sit down and do like the colors like isn't it always some random person that doesn't know what they're talking about and they're like I like green over blue and they're the one that wins the bracket. Right. But no, there's teams like I think Ohio is going to make a run, not the Buckeyes, but the other Ohio.
Man.
I think Ohio's going to catch people off guard. I think they're going to make a run, a Cinderella run. There's some other teams that I'm trying to think of off the top of the head. I don't have my bracket with me, but the biggest one that I see, like, dude, I'm all in on Cade Cunningham, and not just because I want him to be a future Piston, because the Pistons are definitely getting the one of the first two picks if they don't get screwed
right.
in the lottery in June. But
right.
Cade Cunningham at OK State, he is on another level right now, and I think he's about to have one of those tournaments that we talk about for a long time. And I think the Cowboys are going to be one of those teams in the Final Four that not a lot of people had in their brackets. So that's a little spoiler I'll give without giving away, like, my Final Four and all that other stuff. But
okay.
Fred, I appreciate it, man, because I've been gushing on Cade Cunningham ever since, like, mid-season, man. And like I said, like you said, I think he's probably about to be on his Carmelo Anthony Syracuse run where we see them.
Yep,
I don't
exactly.
I don't think they're winning it. I don't think they're necessarily winning it, but – definitely, like, they're going to tear a hole through somebody's bracket where everybody kind of thought they were going to bow out early, and that's not going to be the case.
Nobody's going to be able to stop. It's going to be hard for a team to stop him until he meets the Baylors and, starts meeting those teams. But for the opening rounds, like, they're not going to have an answer for Cade. Like, they're just not. If I got to eat crow after the tournament, I will, but with my brain, not my heart, I think OK State makes a run because he's the best player in the country right now. You got to give it to at least a team that has the best player in the country on their team.
Right, right.
So.
Fred Feldman, you tell the dog I said hi.
Hey, that's Guinness. We did name him after my favorite beer in a place I proposed to my wife in Dublin. And speaking of which, Sláinte to Crossroads Sports. No shout out to all the plastic patties that are downtown sucking down green Miller Light that's warm and Jello shot. No shout out to them, but Sláinte to all my Irish homies and Sláinte to Crossroads Sports. I'm out.
My name is Finley, and I love to fight. Thanks, Fred.
Anytime. Fred Feldman from the Kayfabe Connection. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Fred, again. And uh-oh. That's the breaking news sounder.
Tom Brady got traded.
You wish. Breaking news, Adrian Wojnarowski. This happened probably about 10 minutes ago. I've been waiting to give it out. Houston has traded P.J. Tucker to the Milwaukee Bucks for D.J. Augustine and an unprotected 2023 first-round pick. So
D.J. Augustine, that's it?
And D.J. Wilson.
Okay.
So...
got somebody can do some dirty work for Giannis.
I guess they traded the 2020. They also Houston traded Milwaukee's 2022 first round pick back to Milwaukee. So, and then they got back a 2023 unprotected first round pick. They also get the rights to swap the 2021 second round pick for Milwaukee's first round pick unless it falls between 1 and 9. So. Also, it looks like the Bucks are going to be trading Torrey Craig to the Suns per Woj as part of that trade. So P.J. Tucker leaving Houston, going to Milwaukee.
Wow. I mean, that's not like, Chris Bosh signing with the Miami Heat, but that's a
right.
good move. That kind of solidifies them from wanting to make a deep run because P.J. Tucker is tough-minded. He gets bored. He hits threes. Gets to the free throw line and he's playoff tested. So good for the Bucks.
Yep, absolutely. All right, John, we're gonna do a quick ad reads real quick, and then when we come back, we're gonna talk a little NFL.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
John, let me tell you about Mavericks Custom Motorsports. That's where great ideas are created, John. Dreams are born. They specialize in everything. Jeeps, trucks, boats, motorcycles, you name it. They offer pickups, deliveries, shipping worldwide. They can do custom motorcycle builds for you. Put your hog out there on 465. Custom audio accessory installs. Your neighbors can hear you 2 miles away coming to home. Custom LED lighting on the vehicle. They do all that and more. They do your custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and much more. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com, or give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628, Maverick Custom Motorsports. All right, John. NFL free agency. It started today. But you can actually officially sign today, I should say. So the period recently ended. By the way, breaking news on that, there is a picture going around on Twitter right now of Larry Fitzgerald getting a car at the Hertz Rent-A-Center in Logan Airport in Boston. So what's Larry Fitzgerald doing in Boston? Is he going to go up there and join Bill Belichick, who's already signed Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne? Does Bill go out and get Larry Fitz for a run for that veteran wide receiver to help Cam? Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
ESPN put out a little goofy talking about the Jets and the Jaguars spent the most money last 5 years in free agency, and look where they're at. They always finish flat. They always finish last. You know what I'm saying? As we know well, this year they're 1-2 in the draft this year, right? I will push back on that hard, saying that who was leading those organizations, right? What the hell? Bill Belichick seen enough of that Super Bowl and decided that he wanted to get back into the action. So what did he do? Him and Bob Kraft opened up the checkbook, and they went on a spending spree. And I, quite honest with you, Brandon, I trust Bill Belichick more than I trust the New York Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars, whoever was leading them. You know what I'm saying? Including their current leadership, which I know they're both those teams are in rebuilding mode. New England finished, 7-9 last year. They had a handful of players sit out because of the COVID, you know what I'm saying, health concerns with that, and how they didn't want to deal with the uncertainty of what that was going to look like. And he, you know what I'm saying, Bill Belichick kind of just loaded up on the offensive side of the football. He even got Karras from Miami to come back, I do believe. I think that was reported before we even kind of came on the show. So he's, you know what I'm saying, he's putting up, if anybody doesn't know, Karras plays old lineman. So I think he lost a lineman. He lost a lineman to Kansas City in what's the kid's name? Tunney? I think his name is John Tunney. I think that's his name. He lost an old lineman, you know what I'm saying, to Joe Tunney. I said John Tunney. Joe Tunney. He lost a lineman to Kansas City, but he gained one of his old linemen back from Miami. And like I said, he's tight end. He's addressed that. Offensive tackle, Trent Brown, he's addressed that. Wide receivers, you know what I'm saying, he's kind of addressed that in free agency. He brought back Cam on a $14 million. It's not even a whole lot of money if you think about it. On a $14 million contract, when you think about the quarterback money that kind of flows through the NFL. And Brandon, he still got his draft picks.
Oh, yeah.
Right now the Patriots are picking 15th. And we all know, you know what I'm saying, everybody kind of knows the top five picks or the top three quarterbacks that kind of go or whatever. You know what I'm saying? People kind of speculate on how that kind of plays out. But who's to say Bill Belichick either A, doesn't already know who he kind of wants to pick at 15 or even in the, or even second round with some of his later other picks, because he has like seven picks because he's accumulated picks for the last two or three years. Who's to say that he doesn't turn that third round of pick into a quarterback or a second round pick into a quarterback that nobody's talking about? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The Evil Empire went down, right? If we all remember, the Evil Empire broke up, divorced, you know what I'm saying, when Tom Brady decided to go to Tampa Bay and kind of left Bill Belichick, and everybody kind of said that it was Tom Brady that was doing all the magic. Well, I think we're getting found out that there was a little bit of magic in Bill Belichick's hands as well. I get it, what you're going to say already. Can you trust Cam Newton to be even half of what Cam Newton was during his MVP season? I know we're like 4 years removed from that. And I say no. That's why I say he's going to get his quarterback, another quarterback. He's already got another backup already. I think he's going to draft another quarterback. And potentially that person is going to be, and we all know Bill, he ain't got no problem regardless of who was paid or what. He ain't got no problem pulling you and making you sit. So who's to say, Brandon, that doesn't take his 15 picks, the pick 15 that he's picking right now in the first round or some other secondary pick that he has and try to move up in that draft and make a deal with somebody that doesn't need a quarterback or whatever. So the evil empire is back. That's what I'm saying. And everybody should be on, not everybody, but definitely the AFC East should be on notice. Buffalo Bills should be on notice.
Okay. The next thing I'm going to place on is perfect for St. Patrick's Day, with it being St. Patrick's Day and us talking about this. Because we're going to play the funeral music, the bagpipes, the Irish, the Scottish, the St. Patrick's Day fitting, because St. Patrick's Day, and these bagpipes played a day earlier than St. Patrick's Day up in the city of Chicago. When they signed a $10 million deal with a quarterback with a red rifle, the Red Rocket himself, Andy Dalton, is now the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears to lead them to the NFC North and possibly the NFC Championship game? Question mark? John, what the hell happened in Chicago? Please, please, we have several Bears fans. Please talk them off the ledge.
They didn't have enough, nor did they want to offer enough to get Russell Wilson. And the way I look at it, Brandon, I think Pace, this is the general manager, and Nagy, the coach, I think they're still going to try to win the games defensively. They'll still be great defensively. They'll still be solid defensively.
Right.
That can wait. That can wait. But, like, nah, man, they're still going to be able to try to win games defensively, and they will. But I just don't – they do. Green Bay is still heads and shoulders over everybody in that division, and no shade to Detroit of what kind of people kind of think about, you know what I'm saying, about them and about the trade that they made, bringing Goff over. The Detroit Lions are technically better, you know what I'm saying, throughout their team than Chicago is. Minnesota's still, we don't know what the hell's going on. So Chicago, I you're going to have a new general manager and new coach. You just are, because you're not going to win with the Red Rocket. Brandon, why did they go get AJ, who signed with Arizona? You could have had a reunion with him and the Red Rocket that they had with the Bengals, man. You know, I just don't see it, man. Foles lost them straight, I do believe, like 7 games, and then after they pulled Trubisky was 2-0. I get it was a shaky 2-0, but like, who gets pulled after you win a game? That's kind of like they pulled the trigger because they didn't believe in him faithfully, because maybe he didn't make, you know what I'm saying, the secondary throw like the coach staff wanted it. But he didn't lose the game till they started. I mean, he didn't lose the game, and then when they reinserted him back into this, they won a game, and then of course, you know, by that time it was too late. You know, you want him to beat Green Bay after sitting on the pine for, you know what I'm saying, for 7 weeks. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would have been better off, you know what I'm saying, signing Trubisky. Really, realistically, man, he's a better quarterback at this stage in his career than the Red Rocket, right? But again, you know what I'm saying, all these teams are coaches, are, you know what I'm saying, they do coach some a little bit with their heart instead of their head. You know what I'm saying? Even our own coach, Frank Reich, coach, you know what I'm saying, makes those mistakes sometimes. So Chicago, it is what it is. You still have a you know what I'm saying, a B-minus defense, but you got, you know what I'm saying, a Turdburger at quarterback. Turdburger,
yep.
Bridge at quarterback.
Damn. looking locally here, Indianapolis-wise, our former quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. Brissett signs a 1-year deal with the Miami Dolphins, so he will not be backing up Carson Wentz this season, so he's gone there. A little bit of a head-scratcher, John, and, you know, you tweeted at me, and I was trying to get an NCAA team out of the hotel this afternoon when you sent it to me. But Marlon Mack coming back on a one-year, $2 million deal with the Colts on a very crowded backfield with Hines, Taylor, and Mack. All three of these guys back there now. Could be the best backfield, though, in the NFL.
Man, I like the flexibility. I like the potential depth, right? Because we know running backs, hell, Marlon Mack came off like 1,900 yards rushing, and then he got hurt, right? So think about what we would have had last year if we had Mack and Taylor, had he not got hurt, how dynamic the backfield situation would have been. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we do beat Buffalo. And Coach Frank doesn't have to make those boneheaded fourth and whatever calls or whatever. But it's like, no, man, I kind of like the move. Marlon Mack is on a prove-it kind of deal so that he can potentially get a bigger contract from another team. The Colts, I know there's been a lot of hype about why the Colts haven't spent a whole lot of money going into free agency, going after a Schuster or going after some of these other names that Bill Belichick's kind of signed up. Or even trying to, get the edge rusher. Who's the best edge rusher? I would ask that. Who's the best edge rusher in this free agent class? You know what I'm saying? I know who, but it's not somebody I necessarily would give $50 million to. So why don't you just go to the best college edge rusher that you can get at pick 21 or even whatever pick you have in the secondary rounds, right?
Right.
So I think Chris Ballard knows that you don't necessarily win the playoffs or even the Super Bowl, and even though I gave this great grade for New England, you don't necessarily win the Super Bowl in March, right? And you have to take care of your own free agents as well. They did let Archie walk to a different stream. Peace be with him. Great for him. You can't overpay for guys either. You know what I'm saying? You can't overpay for average or just a little bit or even C plus work. Even though it's your guy, you overpay for somebody who's necessarily somebody. I don't even think they even overpay for T.Y. I think they give T.Y., like what Jim Irsay said, they give T.Y. what the going market says. So another team wants to pay T.Y. Hilton $16 million for a year. T.Y. Hilton be playing for another team. But my personal opinion, I think T.Y. stays. But I looking with the crystal ball, Brandon, they have to pay the offensive line. That's what's going to come up next year, and that's what I think they're kind of saving some of their money for. They will address some of the other needs that they have. It was a shocker that they brought back Marlon Mack. I kind of like the dynamics, the dynamicity of it, of having that crowded backfield, because all those guys kind of do something a little different. So I like the move.
Yeah, Frank Wright is right now on Sirius XM NFL channel talking with them, and they were talking about Marlon Mack, the versatility of bringing him back, what that kind of does. You have two guys on the roster now that were both 1,000 the previous seasons. So having that flexibility in there with Wentz, Colts are looking, and Frank Wright just said on there just a minute ago, the Colts are in the market for a playmaking tight end. So if you take that, the Eagles are still looking what they're going to do with Zach Ertz. Are the Colts zeroing in on Zach Ertz as that playmaking tight end, or are they looking somewhere else? Gerald Everett just signed a few minutes ago with the Seattle Seahawks from the Rams. So that takes a tight end out of the bunch. Gronkowski just re-signed with the Bucks. Not that he was ever going to go to Indianapolis, but right. I mean, you look at tight ends right now, who's out there that's a playmaking tight end? Could there be a trade for Zach Ertz that Indianapolis is making based on what Frank Wright is saying right here?
Heads crack. I don't know, man. They know more. They know a little bit more than me and you, even with our combined brain power. I don't know. Do they got any more picks left to get Zach Ertz, man? I don't know. Maybe I would just deal with the you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The devil Frank, I don't know. They try to draft somebody.
Yeah, Frank Wright says on the edge position. You talked about the edge rusher, John. We're working on it. Obviously, we're in play with DeNico. We were in play with DeNico Autry before he ended up signing with Tennessee, which was a huge blow to go to your division rival. He says it just didn't work out. Maybe this year Kamiko can stay healthy and have a breakout year. He certainly has the talent for it. They're also excited about Tyquan Lewis's growth, and they're expecting a big year from him.
Yeah, the coach is going to spend smartly on whoever they either retain or who they bring from outside. So,
yeah.
Chris Ballard's not going to throw a whole lot of draft picks at anybody's way, and he's definitely not going to throw a whole lot of money, knowing that he's got to resign some of those offensive linemen. That,
by the way, the Pacers are putting it to the Nets right now. I know they don't got their guys in, but the Pacers just put up 40 in the first quarter, shot 63% from the field. Sabonis has got 14. They're up 40-25.
Good. That's what I said, good.
I like it because this morning I took Pacers money line and I took Pacers plus 3.5, and that was before the Kyrie news came out. So I was getting points for that. So I love that if this can keep up. AJ Green, John, was a free agent with the Bengals. His career with Cincinnati is officially over. He signed a 1-year deal to go out to Arizona. So he's going to join Nuke out there. I can't think of it. Why is his name slipping me right now? Kills the Coles, wide receiver for Arizona. Come on. He used to be a Texan.
Man, he just got traded. He got traded because Bonehead.
Come on, John. This is where I need your help.
Darn it. You better Google last, man, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah, anyways, they got an AJ Green. I think it's a good try.
Yeah, it's a good move for Arizona. I know you kind of yawned at them picking up the big man a couple weeks ago early on in free agency.
DeAndre Hopkins.
How could you forget that, DeAndre Hopkins? Much banter.
Shame on me.
Shame on you, man. You run a sports show. Shame on you. Anyway, man, Arizona's kind of trying to compete. I think they finished like 8-8 last year or something like that. They took something to tune like that. They're trying to get back. They're trying to get to the playoffs. And that division's division is definitely wide open with all the changing parts that are happening out there. So I think they can win it. I'm not saying that AJ Green is the cherry on top, but I think together out there, veteran talent and a quarterback in Kyler Murray on an upward swing of his career, I think they can get to the playoffs, wild card status though. But like they ain't not necessarily winning. The division.
And the head scratcher for me, it's been reported that Deshaun Watson, who it's weird how Houston now says, well, he's our quarterback and we're happy to have him, but he doesn't want to be there. He now wants to play for just two teams, John. It's down to two teams. It's the San Francisco 49ers or the Denver Broncos.
Oh, wow. If I'm the Denver Broncos, you do whatever you got to get Deshaun Watson.
why would he want to go to the Broncos? I've been trying to think that all day. What would draw you to go to Denver?
Just because it has a history. I don't think John Elway is necessarily there anymore running things.
He is.
Okay. Just because of the history, they have been known to be able to put together the coach they have right now is defensive minded coach, so they have been able to put together some good statistically and analytically some good defenses, but they haven't necessarily got a right at quarterback. I kind of look at Houston. I get Houston's, they're in that dinosaur brain, like, man, you're under contract, you know what I'm saying, but like he doesn't want to play there anymore, and he's not going to budge. There's nothing to talk. If anybody thinks they haven't talked from an ownership standpoint or a coach standpoint, you're a fool. Okay? They've talked, or his representation, his manager, his agent, whoever has talked to him, has talked to the brass of the owner, and like he doesn't want to play there anymore. So just trade him for what you can offer, you can get whatever you want at this point in the game for anything. Mm-hmm. They'll give you first and second round this year and next year too for Deshaun Watson. So make it happen. He didn't want to go to Chicago, and I don't think the Jets got cold feet, right? Because they'd have to tear more than they're willing to give for Deshaun Watson. But somebody with the pedigree, championship pedigree that they've had in recent years with the Denver Broncos, I can see making that happen.
Okay. Let's see here. Oops, hold on one second.
It's all good.
Here we go. Breaking news.
More.
Indiana Hoosiers, head coach?
Stop it.
No, they haven't done it yet. That's a false fake news. I'm sorry, people. I got to play with IU faithful a little bit. I got to play with them a little bit. No, they haven't named a head coach yet. Maybe they'll go in and get old Slick Willie from the Big Ten Network or college football or college basketball show. Old Slick Steve Lavin. Maybe he'll come.
No. He's so far detached from college. I thought he was going to say Slick. I'd rather have Slick Leonard.
Oh, man. There is somebody they can have, and he's doing the Pacers telecast, and thank God I don't have to hear him because I can't get the games on YouTube TV, but they can have Quinn Buckner if they want him.
No, they won't be Quinn Buckner. I'd rather – it's going to be somebody crazy, Brandon. What if it's Reggie Miller?
He loves TNT too much. John, that's why I have tonight. I know we got 14 minutes left or so, but we've kind of rolled through everything. We hit college basketball really on Monday or on Sunday night. So what kind of throw it to you, what do you have that we have covered or what would you like to talk about?
I don't know if you got a chance to hear the new coach, Josh Church, John, I think his name, that got appointed to that got hired, announced by Indiana State today. If you didn't, he was on, you know, saying friend of the program now, JMB show today. And Brandon, this dude knows, he's won four Division One Division Two titles at a small school in Tennessee. Brandon, it sounds like this dude's ready for the NBA. What he was trying to talk about as far as like some of the speed, quick pace of the game, and not necessarily positionless players. You know what I'm saying? And like everybody passes the ball, everybody shares the ball. His battle, though, Brandon, obviously is going to be recruiting. But as far as X's and O's, man, from what he was saying, like how remember how you get totally in, like you get like you listen to Painter or you listen to, you know what I'm saying, that coach speaks and the X's and O's. This dude's got the same speech, man. He got the same. I really, you know what I'm saying?
We're bought in. Hey.
It's still Indiana State, so he has to get recruits. He's going to have to get some guys to start thinking about, you know what I'm saying, not thinking about Purdue, not thinking about IU, not thinking about even, you know what I'm saying, Ball State in that regard. You know what I'm saying? Because I think all those programs are kind of like three steps ahead of him right now. But when you talk about from a developmental standpoint and be able to win with less, like I just told you, he's got four national championships, so he knows how to get to. He knows how to build a program. He knows how to navigate a tournament. He's still in the tournament. He's still in Division II tournament right now. So, I think he's the right guy, Brandon. If he had coached at a mid major, I think he'd be IU's guy and had something similar. I think he'd be. I was that impressed from what he was saying, and then when I did my research back, I was like, oh my, this dude does. You know what I mean?
Sounds like
he does rub elbows a lot with a lot of NBA folks.
Okay.
And he's actually kind of like he's not necessarily a Butler guy, but he's rubbed elbows with the Butler folks as well, from Holtzman to Stevenson. So I expect to upgrade down in Terre Haute.
Okay. Sounds great. Maybe he'll soon be a friend of the program too. We'll start covering some more Indiana State Sycamore action. Especially we got there at the front of the program, JMV. So absolutely. Yeah, I saw that Lincoln Memorial. I had to stop and look it up because for some reason I just thought of a high school and I said, wait a minute, they didn't hire some high school coach, did they? And then I got to look and I'm like, no, this guy's Division II national champion. Okay, they did their due diligence there. But Greg Lansing, hey, no shot at Greg Lansing. Great coach out there. It was just time for a change, apparently, there in Terre Haute. So Lansing, I think, will land on his feet somewhere here in Indiana, whether it be an NAIA team or whatnot. I think he'll end up okay.
For sure. Outside of that, man, I got two things for you. One, the Lakers are coming to the small screen. HBO Max has green lit a series for us to like for us, you know what I'm saying, for anybody. I don't have HBO Max yet. I'm gonna get it, but like they're doing the 80s Lakers, and it's gonna be like a movie. And Brandon, John C. Reilly is playing Jerry Buss.
Who's playing Pat? Who's playing Pat Slick Willie?
Adrian Brody.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
And they kind of got unknowns. Relatively unknown playing Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, But like all
They couldn't get Michael B. Jordan to do that? They couldn't get Michael B. Jordan to play Magic?
I think they shed a little money on it. Michael B. Jordan, for one, ain't tall enough to play Magic Johnson. Right. But they kind of cast some relatively unknowns to play some of the players. I think the show's actually kind of centered around more so ownership and the coach. Of course, Magic Johnson. There's no way you can have a Lakers show without Magic Johnson. So the guy that they got to play in Magic Johnson, like I said, he's just not necessarily a name brand kind of guy. We don't necessarily know. We will, I assume, after the series is over. But I can't wait. John C. Reilly. I know he can be serious sometimes, but like, oh my God, he's gonna play Jerry Buss. You know what I mean? I'm kind of geeked about it. So, and then the other thing I did you watch the last episode of Walking Dead?
I have not yet. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I've been watching the new Last Chance U. They're doing basketball out in Los Angeles County. I've been watching that. But I'm going to watch it either tonight or tomorrow. Am I going to be excited?
Okay, oh, my God. Last episode was kind of, quote, unquote, sappy. You know what
yep.
I mean? It was the little love story or whatever, Valentine's Day story between Daryl and Carol. They're back to blood and guts. And
Rick back?
Story, huh?
Rick? He back? Rick?
No, sir. No, the preacher. The preacher. This is the preacher story.
Oh, my God. I wish he was dead 3 seasons ago.
Dude, after you say, Brandon, you say that, man, you know what? You know the world of Walking Dead turns everybody into Negan, don't it?
Okay.
Get hyped because, like, go ahead.
Where's old boy at with a stick? He was just kicking ass, taking names.
He got transferred to the Fear Show.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of that show.
I can't get into that show, by the way. So.
Yeah, it's just real. It's slower than the regular Walking Dead. But, you know, they are going to come together at some point.
Okay. Perfect. Hey, just a little bit of housekeeping before we go. Check us out, Facebook page, like us, subscribe, share, interact with us on Twitter. Join the group, Crossroads Sports Bracket Challenge. You get to compete against myself and Jonathan. You think your picks are better than ours? Prove it. Go to ESPN Tournament Challenge. The link is on my Facebook page. It's on the Crossroads page. It damn sure better be on John's page as well. Join us. See if you can take on us and some of the idiots that listen to some of the idiots guys that we have, whether it be Reggie Sykes or Decot, who Decot's changed his name apparently, is in Facebook jail. I don't know what's going on with that, but we got a wild character of people. But join us on there, create your bracket, enjoy it. If you're in Indiana and you even created a bracket. And shame on you, as I'm going to say. I'm going to steal that from John Birdsong. Shame on you, because there's no better time to do it than right now. And go back, listen to our March Madness episode. We just had the selection show with Nick Peterson on Sunday. It's going to be a great – that's a great show to listen to. I'm trying to think. Interact with John. John Birdsong is posting some great, great stuff on Instagram. I love it, the fact he's taking over our Instagram feed. I like to read the story, so interact with him on there. Great, great, great stuff. Episode 157. Wow. I can't believe it. We're closing in on that 200. Remember when we had that big 100 episode? We're coming up on 2 now.
200, I mean, I haven't put a whole lot of thought into it, but I think 200 is going to be a spectacular where we just bring on everybody, friends of the program and guests alike, man. It's going to be a great show, but we got to get there, and I know we will. Go ahead.
I forgot one thing. Shout out to Coach Katrina Merriweather, Abby Jump in Wright State, the number 13 seed taking on Arkansas. They're going to be playing, God dang it, I forget where they're going to be playing, but they're going to be playing Monday at, San Antonio, they're going to be playing Monday at 2 p.m. on ESPN. Check them out. They got the bid. It was cool to see the selection show go to their, home floor there, some of them cheering and dancing and stuff. I was looking for Coach dancing. I don't know if she was or not, but I was looking for her, but shout out to them.
Yeah, she's too busy taking pictures, man, but like, for sure, I haven't done a whole lot of scouting just yet for Arkansas to share some of those, share some of my scouting reports with Coach Abby, but I'm pretty sure with Coach Trina being her third time winning this year, her third time winning Coach of the Year at the Horizon League, I'm sure she don't need my scouting reports for sure. But like, no, man, I'm rooting like hell for Coach Jump and Coach Merriweather and for all the ladies on Rice State to beat to upset Arkansas. I don't think it'll be an upset because I think they put quality out there on the court, but for all intents and purposes, four playing the 13 is an upset. But I'll be rooting like hell for them for sure, man, for sure.
Absolutely. All I have left to say is for me, enjoy the madness. It starts tomorrow. John, wrap us up.
Outside of that, man, I just want to make sure we thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, and Maverick Customs Sports, Maverick Customs Motorsports. Make sure, you know what I'm saying, check out all the services and products they have to offer, both our sponsors. I want to say thank you to Fred Felton from the KFA Commission. Great knowledge, whether it's on the basketball tip or the wrestling tip. Yeah, everybody knows that by now. For sure, check out him. I think he's back on Twitter for sure. So definitely go back and check him out on Twitter. Fred Felton from the KFA Commission. Outside of that, man, we had a great show. Episode 157 is in the books. Make sure you listen to us next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.